In the name of our Emmanuel Jesus, amen. What will you do if you are expecting to be gone from your home and loved ones? If we are going on a long trip, many of us would probably find someone we trust to watch over our place and leave detailed instructions to be followed. If you have pets or plants, you might find a person to feed and water them. If you have children and you need to leave them behind, you are going to entrust them to individuals whom you have checked very carefully. We tell the babysitter what to do because we do not want our children to starve or especially be deprived of sleep. So leaving many instructions is a sign that we care about our family and property. The gospel reading for today from John chapter 17 shows us how much Jesus cares for us. Right before his betrayal and death, Jesus prays to his heavenly Father. He was praying for the dear children entrusted to him, for you and me. This prayer is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. High priestly prayer. And it is actually a demonstration of what Jesus is up to all the time since. Jesus praying for us the night before his crucifixion teaches us that our Savior is praying for us. Our Savior is praying for us. Yes, our Savior Jesus is praying for us every moment right now. This is actually quite amazing. When Jesus was praying to his Father in our reading, it was the last days of what we call his state of humiliation. State of humiliation. And what does that mean? It's the years, they were the years Jesus did his saving work on earth when he voluntarily chose not always and fully to use his divine attributes, his powers as God. But he did use those attributes when they contributed to saving us. Omniscience is one of Jesus' divine attributes. He knows everything. On this night of John 17, Jesus is using his omniscience to know that this very night he was going to be betrayed. And the next day, died the excruciating death of the cross. Knowing that, what was Jesus' concern? Not himself, but us. Anticipating his physical absence from his children, Christ wanted his Father in heaven to be with them and to protect them. Our Savior knew very well that the world will hate God's children because they belong to Christ and they do not belong to the world. The world is controlled by the prince of this world, and the goal of the evil one is to lead the children of God away from the Lord. Knowing the impending attacks, Jesus fervently prayed for his followers. The interesting fact is that God the Father entrusted these followers to Christ in the first place. Jesus did everything in his power to keep them safe. And another of Jesus' divine attributes is omnipotence, being almighty. The almighty Christ could have protected his children by simply taking them out of this evil world. But he didn't. Instead, he prayed for them. Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Isn't that interesting? Prayer is the better protection. Prayer is the better protection. This prayer of Christ is known as his high priestly prayer because it reflects Jesus' role as our priest. And if you look at the Old Testament, and especially the priests in the Old Testament, the job of a priest in the Old Testament was to be the intercessor for the people, since people were sinful and needed someone to represent them to God. The earthly high priests were sinful as well, but God anointed them for his purposes. The human high priest experiences the wages of death, the wages of their own sin, which is physical death. Our ultimate high priest, Jesus, is perfect and sinless. He did not deserve to die, but for our sake, he chose to die the death of a criminal that we truly deserved. That was the sacrifice of our great high priest offered with his prayer to the Father. And because of that sacrifice offered by God's own beloved Son, the Heavenly Father listens to Jesus' prayer. So, did God the Father respond to our Savior's prayer to protect his children? Yes. Yes, he did. And Christ became the answer to his own prayer. First, God's wrath towards sinners was satisfied by our Savior on the cross. They were forgiven. Second, his resurrection defeated the ultimate enemy, death. Death can no longer bully God's children. They might die physically, but they are protected by God. What about Satan and his minions? Christ's victory vanquished them. They know they have lost the war against God. Yet, the prince of this world will do his best to harass God's children. So God the Father dispatched the Holy Spirit to be with his children as they struggle in this world. The third person of the Trinity is strengthening the faith of Christians and preserving their lives. The children of God not only have the Holy Spirit in their hearts, but they also have fellow believers for mutual consolation. That's why our praying Savior asked his Father to unite. He asked his Father for unity among his children. The devil will try to destroy the church by schisms, factions, and false teachings among Christians. The fact is, even hell cannot overcome the church, as Jesus said in Matthew 16. But true unity in the Christian church can only be created by God himself. The true unity is the divine act. And we are not talking about artificial and superficial unity that just looks like we are united. No, but true concord. And we all know about the name Concordia. And especially in Lutheran circles, we hear about that word Concordia. Streets or schools named after that. We even have the Book of Concord, as, you know, the teachings in the Lutheran Church are its content. But what does that mean? What does Concordia mean? It means from or with heart. From or with heart. The hearts of believers are truly united in faith in Christ Jesus. That's true concord. That's concordia. And God could accomplish this without enemies. However, Jesus affirms that God's word is the truth. So God uses his word to sanctify sinners. And the natural results of the word of truth can be seen. The word of God not only unites those who seek God's truth, those who despise God and his eternal truth are going to be separated from the followers of Christ. The Lord unites his people and sets them apart from others to preserve them through the word. My brothers and sisters, our Savior not only prayed for us, but he continues to pray for us. Now that Jesus is ascended to heaven, he is sitting at the right hand of God. He is imploring his Father to protect and unify us. The Apostle John, who recorded this prayer of Jesus, also wrote this in his first epistle, chapter 2. He said, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have. That verb is present tense. Jesus' prayer is ongoing. Jesus is still praying for us. And Christ's prayer is being answered even now, in not just the lives of the disciples, but ours. Christ not only forgave us, but he continues to forgive us and love us. Christ not only protected the disciples, he is protecting us. Jesus not only bound the first Christians together in unity of faith, he still unites us, brothers and sisters in Christ, with all who trust in Christ Jesus. Our praying Savior will never ever abandon us. He is with us. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, his body and blood are there so we can taste him and we can be strengthened. That's his New Testament in his blood. That's his will and last wishes that we come here and find forgiveness of sins, strengthening of our faith, and unity with him and one another. So, when we face difficulty on this side of eternity, we remember that our home is in heaven. And our praying Savior is also our coming Savior. And he will keep his promise by coming back to take us to be with him in eternal unity and peace. In the name of our Emmanuel Jesus, God with us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.